Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of BrainHackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of BrainHackers.com and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, Brain Hackers. Dave Farrow here with another Brains Behind It. I am talking to Jason Simmons. He is the founder and CEO of Dead Soxy. Welcome to the show, my man.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. So tell us really quickly, what is Dead Soxy?
We are a sock brand that creates really badass, well-designed garments that really focus on solving problems, right? So when I started this thing, we were really focused on fit, design, and performance. And looking at almost every other sock brand out there, we felt that there's a lot left to be desired, and we set out on the journey to get it right.
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many socks are really uncomfortable and painful and everything. Well, why'd you choose socks? Why'd you get into that?
Well, that's a good question, man, and I get that a lot. The truth is it's kind of a gateway for me. I've always wanted to be a designer and in apparel and create garments that make people feel a certain way when they put them on. But again, looking at that market, it's pretty saturated in a lot of different ways. Socks at the time of, we started talking about this idea in 2012, were just kind of starting to come on and just starting to be cool. And again, there was a lot left to be desired. So we focused on socks just because it was new, it was trendy, and we thought we could do it better.
All right. So if anybody's listening or watching right now, that is a really, really big key. We're going to talk about your brain and how your brain works.
Sure.
And that's a big part of it. Is every single time I talk to an entrepreneur, I hear time and time again that what they're doing, what the business they're in, it's not necessarily what they grew up wishing and hoping they were involved in, but it's in that direction. Yet the final decision you made based on what the opportunity presented, not what you wish for. So maybe your big dream was to make, jeans or suits or something like that, but you go into that field and you just be destroyed by the other people around. But you go into socks and you could be a small guy and make some headway.
Absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned jeans, because I kind of had my epiphany moment in college when a college girlfriend bought me my first pair of designer jeans. And up to that point, I had worn, just some mass market type stuff, Abercrombie and Finch and things like that. But once I put on that brand of jeans, it was all different for me from that point forward. I realized that there's a whole nother echelon of design out there that I was completely unaware of before that point.
Really? That's cool, man. That's cool. Okay. So let's jump into some of the questions about mindset and the brain. So we talk about the brain here. What's the smartest thing you ever did for this business?
Yeah. A couple of things come to mind. I think taking the risk early on. So I was a partner with a management consulting firm, and I've been there a decade, and to move from that job, very secure job, I liked it a lot, still have great relationships with those folks, but this company wouldn't be where it is today had I not just jumped into the deep end, made the calls, learned all the things that you needed to learn, and just took the risk, and the mindset that goes behind that, and I'll tie it in, is just fearless. You have to believe. You have to have an unwavering belief that you're going to work hard enough to get it right and that you're smart enough to get it right.
Now, a lot of the critics of that mindset, they think, business people are arrogant or salespeople are arrogant and they feel entitled and everything. And and I'm not even sure if that's necessarily an insult, But because we do feel you jump into something expecting success, and many people would say that's arrogant, but many people would also say that's necessary. What do you think about that?
I absolutely think it could be both. It's definitely necessary, but it depends on where, and I wouldn't say arrogant, I would say confident, and it depends on where you get your confidence from, right? So for me personally, my whole life has trained me to just work and focus relentlessly on pursuit of success, right? So I get my confidence from knowing that I put in the time and that I put in the effort and all of the grunt work that's gotten me to this point. If you're just arrogant and you aren't willing to put in the time, that's a whole different, you know, side. And I frankly
think that's the difference, because you either expect it without earning it, or a business owner has earned it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you've earned it, you get the right to be a little bit confident and maybe slightly arrogant in your product. You know, I mean, if you put in the time and the research, then I'm fine with that.
No, that makes sense. All right. So what's the worst crisis you ever had, and how did you overcome it?
A couple of things come to mind. You know, in a startup, it almost feels like you have a crisis a week sometimes, especially in a bootstrap type of situation.
Yeah.
But without a doubt, the toughest time for myself personally and Dead Soxy, I founded the company with my two best friends. And it was founded on, you know, really loose contractual language, no operating agreement, no real.
I see where this is going. What happened?
Well, so we had been around for about 8 months, and we got off to a really strong start. And, you know, once, you know, some success and some numbers were put on the board, people got very adversarial, and it became pretty apparent that our missions weren't aligned. Mm-hmm. And so I made the decision to pursue this alone. And so, again, keep in mind, we had only been around 8 months at that point. And it took me the next 9 months to facilitate buyouts with those guys. And during that time, nothing happened. Okay. So I was very maintenance focused, posting on social media just to let people know that we weren't completely gone. But we didn't launch new products. We didn't run campaigns. We didn't do giveaways. We didn't send out emails to our subscribers. Nothing happened. No website updates, nothing. So that hands down was the most difficult thing that I've ever had to go through. And unfortunately I lost my two best friends through that process. But that, you know, sucks. Well, it did. It does. And I miss them all the time, you know, but again,
you miss the way they were. You probably don't get along with who they are, but you miss the way things were.
I definitely miss what happened, you know, the relationship and the camaraderie before we started the company.
Yeah, no, somebody reminded me when I was going through a conflict with a former business partner that, you know, it's a sign of success that you end up in a courtroom eventually. You know, there's, and it's very true. You got to think of it another way, that if you're valuable enough in order for people to fight over you in court, that's an accomplishment. You know what I mean? And very often, if you are valuable enough for someone to fight over you, there's going to be someone who's going to fight over you. It's Murphy's Law.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's unfortunate, man, but it's a good cautionary tale. Absolutely. I have kind of a, you know, kind of along the same lines of the brain question. Do you think that that, you know, going to school, college, whatever, do you think it'd be possible to spot an entrepreneur by how they think, how they approach problems, things like that? Or is it something that you develop? Do you think you're born that way, or you develop it?
You know, that's a really great question. And I think both. I think that the skill set can totally, absolutely be learned. You know, for me personally, it was learned. I grew up on a farm in Mississippi, and, mm-hmm. you know, although that is entrepreneurial, it is very much around hard work and kind of rub some dirt on it, not creative at all. Mm-hmm. So for me, I learned that aspect. I didn't learn the hard work, but I learned that entrepreneurial aspect later. However, when I'm interviewing people today, I look for some very key things. I look for how they approach problems, how hungry they are. They have that hustle factor. In fact, the hustle factor is almost something that you can't teach, right? You can't motivate people enough to just take the ball and run with it themselves. So when I see that in people, I latch onto it. I also feed off of it, and I hope that I give them some things to feed off of too. And for anyone that hears this, if you send me an email with enough hustle and try for a period of time, probably not going to respond to your first one, but maybe your third or fourth, with enough hustle, there's a good chance that I'll meet with you and probably give you a job.
Hey, is that how we got you on the show?
I don't really remember how this happened, actually.
I've got someone who's working for me now, Jula and Arden, who are just hustling and self-starting, you know, and I'm just filled up my calendar, you know, and it's fantastic to work around a team that, that pushes you and drives you so much.
Absolutely. I would love your job, just getting to hear all the different stories and to feel that energy from entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
There's no substitute for that passion.
Well, I'll tell you, that was something that made me want to do this, because there's the age-old saying that you'll make as much money as the top three people in your life, that sort of thing, or, you know, that you hang out with the most, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of entrepreneurial friends, and the ones I did have, they're busy being entrepreneurs, you know? Sure. But this has been a godsend, because I've gotten ideas every single day, you know, talking to people, and I want to keep it up more and more. And I'm hoping that it'll be just as addictive to everybody else online. When you see each video, you'll want to see the next and see the next.
I almost guarantee it.
Awesome. Awesome. Love to hear that. Well, hey, here's a fun question. What do you do for breakfast? Or if you don't have breakfast, what do you do first thing as your routine?
As you know, breakfast is the most important meal.
I've heard that.
So I'm a little bit different. So I go back and forth, and I'm really focused on healthy eating right now, clean living, healthy eating. As an entrepreneur, that's one of the first things that go out the window for me, because it's, mm-hmm. I make decisions based on efficiency and convenience far too often.
Right. We always round the corners, as it's called, right? So if like, hey, I'm supposed to be working out today, but I'll skip that and I'll do this coaching call conference thing. And then all of a sudden it's been 2 months and you haven't even, you know, worked out.
That's exactly right. So right now I'm trying to take back that part of my life, which, and honestly, it's a struggle for me to stay on top of all aspects of life and to put effort in every category. But I'm really addicted to this green smoothie that I make every morning, and it's I mix it up. It's a food processor. It's my Ninja food processor, and it's a mixture of romaine lettuce and spinach and a pear and a banana and celery, and it's just, you know, very healthy, and you get all the fiber because it's not real juice. You know, you kind of blend it up instead of juice it.
Oh my God, I've got a Ninja too. When did this become an infomercial? No, it's great for healthy living. I got the Ninja, the veggie one, which spiralizes and done all that. And then the bullet thing, it's my big thing is to make like a dessert. So I have low calorie, you know, something that tastes like a milkshake but low calorie. So I put a banana, a few ice cubes, a little bit of milk, and just like a squirt of chocolate syrup. And it's like a milkshake.
Hey, listen, let me give you a little pointer on that. Put a little bit of cinnamon in that one next time, and it's game over.
Really?
Yes.
So really? I started doing it. My son started loving it. Now he asks for it, and I'm like, yeah, I'll make you one. I'll just happen to drink half of it.
Win-win. It's all about the win-win.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'll put a little cinnamon in there. Absolutely. All right. So what would you say is the best way to manage and motivate people?
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting question, right? Because a lot of things come to mind, you know, incentivizing people properly, you know, time off and 401k and that type of, just very traditional type of thoughts. But for me, and again, we're still really small. So there's only five of us full-time at DadSoxy. So for me, it's really more so getting everybody on board with the message and the overall mission of the company. And then behind the product. So a couple of ways that we do that is it takes a long time to build out a new product from scratch. And everything we do is from scratch. And we can talk more about the apparel industry later if you want. But for us, it's including them in the design process. So we have a no-show sock that it's taken us over 2 years to create. And after the first couple of steps, we included everybody on the team and gave them samples and really had an open format communication of what they liked, what they didn't like, and took it very seriously too. We made some pretty significant changes based on the feedback that we got from them, because I want everybody to be an advocate of the brand and to love it so much that they can't not want to work or can't not be motivated. And they don't really need managing at that point, right? Because there's the excitement and the passion and the element of fun behind it. Again, though, we're still really small. If we were, you know, a couple of hundred people, it would be a very different process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it reminds me actually of something I heard from the founders of Barefoot Wine, Michael and Bonnie. They said that the secret to their success is they put everybody into two categories. They basically gave them the title of sales or sales support. you know, and you're getting everybody involved in the design process. They got everybody involved in the sales process. So the person who fills the bottles and puts the cork in was involved in the sales process, you know? Sure. And I think that sort of cohesiveness, everybody on the same team as part of the same cohesive unit, is a really big part of it.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, people generally, hopefully only sell products that they really like and enjoy using, right? So, and that really creates an environment where you have some good back and forth opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. So finally here, we're going to end off with asking you about your marketing plan. How do you expect to sell these things over the next year or two? What are you going to do differently? What do you wish you could be doing right now?
Yeah, a good question. So a couple of different things, and we've got some really exciting things going on right now. So again, everybody on the team is laser focused right now on our no-show giveaway or our no-show launch. And to facilitate that launch, we're gonna give away a few thousand pairs. 3,000 pairs is what we're slated to do right now.
Where do I put my email address in to get one of those pairs? How do I do that?
It's oxy.com. At the bottom, there is a static email catch. Please. And for all your followers, I hope.
All right.
Okay, so here's the deal, though. So we're starting with our internal subscribers. We're going to roll out an email to them first, because when they signed up, we told them that we would give them value, and this is our value. We've got 12,000 of those right now. So we're going to send out an initial marketing email to them, and hopefully they take them all. But if they don't, then we're going to open it up to everyone else. And so what we're trying to do is we're going to create a viral, hopefully viral, social media-based giveaway deal where anybody that wants a free pair of socks, all they have to do is post a picture that we post and tag us in it, and they'll get a DM for a code with a free pair of socks in the next, day or so. We're going to do that until we give away all 3,000 pairs of socks, because here's what we know from a numbers perspective. Just looking at the amount of customers that we have and then the amount of repeat customers, we know that almost 60% of the people that put on a pair of Dead Soxy socks come back to buy another one. And so we created a little script that looks at names, email addresses, and mailing addresses. So we know pretty well, pretty certain how, what that customer repurchase rate is. Mm-hmm. So we feel comfortable giving those socks away, knowing that of those 3,000, 1,800, maybe 2,000 people of those are going to come back and actually pay money for the socks later. Mm. So that's everybody's laser focused on executing that at a really high level now. We've got underwear coming out this fall. So our first underwear line ever. Very, very, very excited about this. We're either launching, I think it's 11:15 right now, give or take a couple of days. So building out our actual marketing strategy for that,
So you're building out the SKUs. You're not a one SKU Sue, as they say.
That's exactly right. And the overall strategy for that, starting with influencers and getting them to push the product is just a major piece for us.
Well, what's your plan for that? Or like that goes into the realm of PR, something I'm familiar with. How do you plan on meeting these influencers, and which ones are you going after? When people talk about influencers, I'm used to the media. I'm used to there's a large product review media. I know this, but a lot of people listening might not know this. There's a lot of media out there that'll review products for you for not for any money, but just to get a chance to get the product. And, it's hit and miss. I remember reading one about Halo Top, the ice cream that's like low calorie, and somebody was trying to eat it for a month and stopped after a week and just hated ice cream afterwards. So it wasn't a very flattering blog entry. So definitely put some thought into this.
Yeah.
But essentially what it is, you give the product out in exchange for them actually talking about it. But of course there's other kinds of influencers. There's people with very large Twitter feeds, there's celebrities. A lot of times some of these people cost money. I tend to focus on what's called the earned media. That's the industry term. And that means you're just earning it based on the value of your product. What's your angle on that?
We're all about earned media right now. And listen, there's certainly some quality people out there to invest in if you are at that point. I think that running lean and mean is the game for any startup, especially in retail. So we're all about earned media. And if you don't like the socks, we welcome you to write that review. Maybe they just weren't right for you. But overall that hasn't happened yet, thankfully, but overall we're very, very confident in the product that we've created. So we just give it away for free and say, hey, yep, be honest and tell us what you think. And if you happen to take a picture with it, that's really cool that we repost. Awesome. You know?
Awesome. Okay. So, do you have like a PR team like in house? Is it just you guys, or are you going outsource or what?
You're looking at it, my man.
What's that?
You're looking at it, my man. This is
All right. That reminds me of when I was like first, you know, promoting. First promoting my day. You know, you send out some packages and you get responses back. Wow. Well, we can definitely talk strategy more. But yeah, that's definitely the right way, especially when you got something brand new. You know, you could spend. I mean, even if I don't know if you have it, but if you had it, spending millions on advertising probably wouldn't even move the dial very much. But getting a few people talking about the product, telling the story about why it's different, that's going to move the dial.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And these the people that we really choose. So again, it's a very hands-on process for us too, and even selection. So we will go evaluate not only their following, which we all know today can just be fudged in a huge way.
Yeah.
We'll look at their engagement. We'll look at their quality of pictures. And are they somebody that we really think that represents our brand and would represent our brand in the future? And it's actually kind of tough, you know, to build up those people. So right now I'm happy to say that we have about 100 that are active for us. And they're generally our first release type of folks. So when we get something, we give it to them first and we say, hey, and even samples sometimes, hey, tell us what you think about these. Don't post them. These are for you.
You know, I like that because, and we could get you 100 of those quickly too, but I like how you have a strategy to follow up with them. So you can, you'll pay a certain amount of money to get that lead, to get in the door with that influencer. But then if you send it again and again and again, then it'll be, you know, free advertising again and again and again. I like that.
And everything we do here is built around community, everything. Right. So, after talking to several influencers, you realize that there are so many brands that are just a flash in the pan type of deal that they reach out and they send them 3 pairs of socks and they never hear from them again. You know,
yeah.
I really early on that I did not want to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very true. And it's part of the startup culture. And it also is one of the reasons why it's tough for the new people to stick around because they're waiting for your name to still be there. Now, to be honest, if there's any sort of silver lining to the problem that you encountered with your partners, it's the fact that you stayed out in the public space. Maybe you weren't spending any money, but you also weren't losing any money, you know, while you were dealing with that buyout, but your name has been around for longer than a year. That's actually something. Sure. So many people who start off, they run out of money, they give up, and just existing long enough is a sort of success in this space.
It is. It's a feather in the cap, you know, and on that note, you know, once we got them out and I went through a little fundraising round, it has just taken off like gangbusters, you know.
Great.
So at that point, when we entered that discussion with them and we were at 16,000 roughly pairs sold, you know, we're at 124,000 pair now. And that's just 8 months after we bought them out. So we are in a dead sprint right now, and it's a lot of fun.
And it's actually probably good that you got rid of those partners early so that they can be nice and envious as your rocket ship takes off.
Exactly.
You know, there's no greater revenge than living well, my friend. So good job.
Thank you. I appreciate it, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, you're definitely a brain behind it. Any final advice for any entrepreneurs out there that want to run a business or a startup or even be in apparel?
You know, get a mentor. That has made the single biggest impact on my life, and my success with Dead Soxy. Once I went out and I can get into the strategy if you want, but once I went out and found 2 or 3 people that were willing to have conversations with me around topics that I had questions around, whether it be distribution or wholesale pricing or how to get into the big box retailers, all of those questions I've asked those people. We're having conversations with people that have been doing it for 25 years, the amount of knowledge that I was able to extract from them is immense. So
that's fantastic. Well, give us an idea of what's the best bit of advice you got. Give us something, rubber roads of the rubber. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what I did is I got on LinkedIn and I searched and found 10 people the first day, wrote a template email, made it personal, and sent
people that you wanted to have as your mentors.
Exactly. And basically you want to keep it short because these are executive type people. They're not going to read anything more than 250 words probably. But you, so really
you didn't get an executive mentor. Like I do, coaching services by the hour to people who want to ask about marketing. You didn't get somebody who's a professional at it. You got somebody who's successful in the space that you want to be in and just say, hey, can you be my mentor?
That's exactly what I did. And not only did I get one, I got three. So I really, I call these people mentors, but really friends at this point.
Yep.
But I got three. So I got one at a big box retailer on the buying side. And hopefully that'll mature into a business relationship at some point. I got one on the distribution side, and then I got one in a logistics 3PL so I can understand the logistical side of the business. And so now I have a network around me with, 100 plus years experience in the space that I'm in, that I can just almost get any question I want answered with as much detail as I'd like.
Oh, so man, that's fantastic.
Huge asset.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. And now you're part of my network. You can certainly call upon me with any questions you have. I have made some amazing connections while doing the brains behind it. And you're right. So many people are so good at so many different things. You can't know it all. But now I'm at a point where I've had conversations like this. And then I say, hey, that reminds me of something else. That reminds me of something else. So let's keep the conversation going. I want to thank you very much for being on the show. And you are definitely a brain behind this business.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.